From the Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God. Now here's the host of Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Leslie Curran.
Leslie Curran here, saying hello and welcome once again in the Saviour's name to our Let the Bible Speak program. I'm delighted that you're able to join with us, and I trust that you'll continue listening for the next 15 minutes as we bring the gospel in message and in song. Today, we have a word of personal testimony. The psalmist said in Psalm 66 and verse 16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." So the psalmist was desirous to tell forth what the Lord had done for him. And doing just that on our program today is the Reverend Ivan Foster. He's going to bring a word of personal testimony telling how the Lord met with him and saved him by his grace. Here he is.
It's most appropriate for me on what is my first broadcast on this station that I tell you how I became a Christian. The Apostle Peter exhorts Christians in his first epistle. You'll find these words in chapter 3 and the verse 15. He exhorts Christians to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I would like to tell you of my conversion to Christ. It was on the 5th of April, 1964, that I was converted. Not in a church or in a gospel meeting, but my conversion to Christ came about as the result of a chance meeting on a train from Belfast to Portrush. But before I come to that, let's listen to my friend, the Reverend William McCrae, sing, "I've Been Born Again."
I don't want my mansions here in this world of sin and shame. All I want to know is I've been born again. I don't want wealth and fame. I don't care who knows my name. All I want to know is that I've been born again. One who understands all the troubles and the trials I go through. Yes, there's one way up above, looking down in peace and love, and he tells me that I've been born again. My life was filled with sin, and I had no peace within. Then I read where you must be born again. So I knelt there in the aisle, and God met me with a smile. Now I know that I've been born again.
I too can say that I've been born again. I must stress that it was not the result of any righteousness on my part, for I was anything but a churchgoer when I was converted. It was all of the Lord's mercy alone. I was born outside Lisnaskee in the townland of Kinahy. In the early 1950s, our family moved to Belfast. When I started to work in Ulster Television, just short of my 16th birthday, I virtually had ceased to attend church except on special occasions, and mind you, they had to be special. By the time I was 20, religion and God played little or no part in my life. The dances, the pubs, and the party going was all that my life contained. On Easter Friday, 1964, I travelled to Portrush with a friend. His name was Albert. We were like many young people at that time who congregated in Portrush at the Easter period. We had nearly missed the train from Belfast and had to jump into the first compartment available. That, coupled with the fact that we were travelling by train at all, was providential. Both Albert and I had lost our driving licenses for drunken driving some 6 months earlier. That is why we were on the train. The carriage that we tumbled into was occupied by six girls about our own age. We were happy enough about that, and began to introduce ourselves by offering them cigarettes. They refused. We asked whether they were going to the dance in the Arcadia that evening. No, they said. We're not going to the dance. Then why are you going to Portrush? We said. We're going to a young people's Christian convention, was their answer. There was no way out of the carriage, except through the door that we had entered, and that would have led us out into mid-air. The train was a non-stop train to Portrush. During the journey, the girls attempted to faithfully witness to us. I don't remember much of what they said, but I do remember that we were anything but polite to them. When we arrived at Portrush, Albert and I dived for the door to get out. One girl, her name was Hazel, grabbed my arm and said, "Just remember that God says in his word, my spirit shall not always strive with man." Genesis 6:3. I laughed at her and pushed on out of the train. I never thought about those girls or the verse quoted again during the weekend in Portrush. The following Tuesday, it was back to work. Albert, who worked with me in UTV, did not come to work. About 9:30, he rang to say that his father had unexpectedly died on the Monday evening. I attended the funeral on the Thursday. He was buried in Tocherdo Methodist Graveyard, only a few miles from Kilskerry. At the weekend, I went up to stay with Albert, for his mother had been hospitalized with a stroke some months before, and his only sister was a nurse, and so she was away from home. I arrived on the Friday evening and was greeted at the door by Albert, and he told me that he had got saved the evening before. I was vexed and angry at this news. I thought of the pubs and the dances that we went to, and I was angry that all this was over. I knew enough about Christianity to know that Christians did not go to such places. I pulled out my packet of cigarettes, I offered him one, and then immediately sneered, "Of course, you're a Christian now, and would not smoke." I began to blow clouds of smoke all round the place, just to annoy him. Isn't it amazing how that instant enmity between me and my friend had sprung up as soon as I, an unrepentant sinner, had learned that he had been converted? During the weekend, the arguing and the debating continued. About 9 o'clock in the evening of the Sunday, we had both fallen silent as we sat either side of the fireplace. And as I looked into the flames of the fire, musing over the events of the weekend, suddenly the verse quoted by Hazel on the train came into my mind. "And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man." I did not know where the verse was, nor had I ever been in an evangelistic service where I might have heard such a verse preached upon. But I knew nevertheless what the words meant. God was telling me that it was only when his spirit strove with a man that he could be saved. He was also saying that his spirit would not strive forever. Opportunities rejected would come to an end. All this was impressed upon my heart in a moment. Of course, Albert, looking on, he knew nothing of what was going on. I said suddenly to him, "I'd like to go upstairs to the room." I had been staying, as I said, in his home. And I went up to the room that had been given to me, and I fell down upon my knees beside the bed. I asked the Lord to save me. I repeated this petition over a few times. That is all I knew to pray. I got up from my knees. I knew that I had been earnest and that I had called upon the Lord. But had he answered me? That I was not sure of. The next day I was back at work. The smoking was gone. The cursing had stopped. I even said to my mother that Monday evening that Albert and I had turned over a new leaf. But that was as far as I could go. I was still not sure whether or not I was a Christian. The next weekend, on Sunday the 12th, my mother and father did that which they had done on a number of occasions over the previous year or so. They asked me to come with them to hear Ian Paisley preach, for they had started to attend his meetings. I had always refused to go to hear Mr. Paisley, for I believed all that I had heard about him in the press and others from other sources. "I'm not going to hear that bigot," I used to say to my parents. "Anne's a fool." This time, however, my heart jumped at the opportunity, and I said I would go. That night, under the preaching of God's word, all my doubts disappeared. After the meeting, Mr. Paisley gave me some literature, such as Safety, Certainty, and Enjoyment, and The Gospel in a Nutshell, and I eagerly took it home and read it. That night I saw how that when I had called upon the Lord, he had heard me, he had accepted me and saved me, even as he had promised he would. For do we not read in John 6:23, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And again, the words of Peter, Acts 2:2, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." On the merits of Christ's death alone, I had been accepted with the Father, and as was reconciled to him, I had passed from death unto life, from darkness to light. I was in Christ, safe and secure. That was 35 years ago. He has kept me, provided for me, protected me, blessed me, and surrounded me with tokens of his mercy. I have his assurance of a home in glory when I die. All this I find in God's precious word in the gospel. This is my story. God bless you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church, coming to you from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53, 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53, 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here each morning, Monday to Friday, at 9:45. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.